So let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Father, as we now getting into the message, Father, give us the wisdom to understand your word, especially, Father, when it concerns choosing between the Old Testament law and the freedom we have in Christ. And we ask you this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, this will be a third-part message. The first thing we have, and first thing that I'm going to talk about is what choices do we have? I think a couple of weeks ago, I talked about options. So what choice do we have when the gospel is presented to us? Then number two is, will the choice we have, will that come to pass? Will that come out? Will that be done? Will it be come to pass? And then the third one here is just do your duty. Just do what God is asking you. So let's see then. The first thing is the choice we have in God's promises. And the Old Testament gave us a terrific example of the choice we have between the narrow mindedness of the law and the broad freedom we have in Jesus Christ. And the one that gives us a good history lesson here is Paul in Galatians. In Galatians 4, he gives us a history lesson and he takes us back to the Old Testament. And he tells us about the events that took place between Abraham, Sarah, and Hagar. Most of us know the story, but I'll mention it briefly so that those that do not know it exactly will hear it. And let's see what Paul mentions. He mentions that Abraham had two sons, one by a slave woman and one by a free woman. And these two women, he calls, there are two covenants, two agreements. One son is born according to the flesh, naturally, in a worldly relationship between Abraham and Hagar. Hagar is the name of the slave woman. And she is set up to produce a son because Sarah, Abraham's wife, is beyond childbearing age and cannot produce a child anymore. At least, humanly speaking. Abraham has been promised an abundance of seed and descendants. And here he is at an old age, without any children, and he wants to help God, as if God needs help. So he gets Hagar pregnant, and they get a son, and they name him Ishmael. So remember that name well, Ishmael. You all know the offense that followed. Sarah and Hagar, two women in the same household, that will never work. So that brings trouble, and Hagar and Ishmael, her son, after 13 years that they lived there together, Hagar is ordered out, and she moves to Arabia, and their offspring will eventually become the countries of the Middle East, outside of the Jewish nation and the Western world. Ishmael was called a wild donkey, wild man, and his hand was against everyone. But he would also be blessed by God with many descendants. He is already an example. There's no room in God's house for believers and non-believers. They may for a time work together, but you will see that there always will be havoc. And we see that in all the communities that Paul describes, with the Galatians, the Thessalonians, they always have this enmity between the law and the gospel of Christ, always. And here in this allegory of Paul, that Paul has, you have the same thing. So Paul reminds us that through Isaac, the son that was born supernaturally of the free woman Sarah, that this offspring of Abraham are the children of promise, children of God's covenant, but from a free woman, because she was free, she was not a slave. And Paul reminds us also that the oldest son will persecute the child of the free woman, Isaac. And in verse 30 of that same chapter, Paul says something very important. He says, the son of the slave, Ishmael, shall not inherit with the son of the free woman, Isaac. He will not inherit the promises of God to Abraham. And Paul ends with, so brethren, he says, we are not children of the slave woman, but of the free woman. We find this whole story in Genesis 21 and the following verses there after Genesis 21:10. Indeed, we are children of God's promise. The line of Abraham is in two women, but more important is now, who is our mother? Who is the mother? And our identity is in Sarah, the free mother. And no longer are we bound by the law. The inheritance from God to Abraham is only through Sarah, the free woman. So if I may backtrack a little bit, verse 29 said that Ishmael will persecute the free son Isaac. He will mock at them, and that's what he did. He laughed at them. He was 13 years older and when Isaac was born. And just as Sarah actually did when the Lord told her that she would become a mother at her old age. She didn't believe it. She laughed at it. She was probably saying, oh, you got to be kidding. This is the biggest joke I had. Does God know that older women cannot get children? And here she had a son, and he was mocking the same way, you can say, to young Isaac. And indeed, up until now, until today, there is great enmity and animosity between these two descendants. You can testify to that. All the Arab countries and the free woman, the Christians, are at great enmity to them. And we see that persecution continue. And you will say, oh yeah, that always has to be there. But I can give you two examples, two illustrations, where this is a special persecution. Rome, Italy now. But the Romans have caused the Arabs much pain in the last centuries. Many died during the Romans' occupation of the Middle East. But there is not such a hatred that's between them, the Italian now, and the Middle Eastern countries, if you compare it to what's going on now between the descendants of Ishmael and Isaac, the Arabs and the Christians. Cannot compare it. The same can be said about England. England occupied Egypt, Saudi Arabia, Jordan, Syria. But nothing can compare between the hatred between the Arabs and Israel, between Ishmael and Isaac. The persecution continues. And what Paul says that it will continue is actually coming through. Then there was another thing that he says. Are the inheritances which were promised to Isaac. Are they so important? Oh, yes. Just as Isaac inherited the promises made to Abraham, so also are we, believers in Christ, as spiritual heirs, recipients of God's redemptive power in Jesus Christ. That is our inheritance that comes through Sarah. And these verses by Paul tell us that we can find freedom and also all the promises and blessings of Jesus Christ's sacrifice on the cross. We are no longer under the law. Christ has set us free, not from sin, we are still sinners, but from slavery to it. So what a blessing to be a son and daughter of the free woman, Sarah. So that's the choice that we make and that we have made. Now, when we make that choice and we have made that choice, we are Christians, we are children of the free woman, is that choice certain to come to pass? Well, skeptics among us, not only here but in the world, will say that the promises of God to Abraham, that he would get many offspring and the nations would be blessed, that would happen anyway. That's normal, it will go, it will happen. But let me illustrate with the following story here, true story, that God's promises and warnings will always come true, regardless of time, and do not come by chance or happenstance. Last Thursday, in the Bible study here that we had, we studied Daniel chapter 5. And we studied the story, the tale of King Belshazzar of Babylon and the writing on the wall on the wall of a hand was discussed. You see, like a white wall logic, you would see a hand writing. People that have followed the Bible study remember what it says. But let me tell the story in short what happened. King Belshazzar of Babylon held a big feast. About 1,000 people of his staff were drinking and eating. There were concubines, women, and they caroused, they drank. It was a big feast. But evidently, there came a time that they ran out of glasses, and he ordered to use the golden vessels, the golden bowls and plates that the Babylonians had conquered when they conquered Jerusalem, had taken with them, and had in his palace. So he says, get them out. We don't have enough plates. Let's use them. And in the midst of this spectacle, this feast, all of a sudden, a hand became visible and wrote on the wall. And the writing was, Mene, Mene, Tekel, Upharsin. Mene, Mene, Tekel, Upharsin. No one of his wise men and sorcerers could interpret that. They didn't know. But the queen, probably his mother or maybe an aunt, said, there is one person here in your kingdom that can do it. That's Daniel. So they called Daniel and the king said, interpret that for me. And if you can, you get certain benefits, and that's what Daniel did. He said, King Belshazzar, this message is for you. And one of the predictions, one of the things that it says, you king, you will not last, you're done. And indeed, that same night, King Belshazzar died and lost his country to the Medes. Some people would say, what happened? Why? What went wrong here? He was such a powerful king. Well, we have to go back to Genesis, when God ordered Moses to make the tabernacle, and his instructions, God's instructions, were very specific. You can read this in Genesis 25, verse 29 and verse 44. I can read it for you, but then we'll extend the time. But read it yourself, Genesis 25, verse 29 and verse 22. Where Moses was to consecrate all the vessels, drinking bowls, and these were called the most holy of the Lord. And in chapter 30, verse 29, again, to consecrate the items mentioned. And then finally, those that are reading now and looking it up, look, Exodus 30, verse 18 and 20, wherein God orders Aaron, who was the high priest, and the priest, his sons, to wash their hands before they entered the tent of meeting and touch and use the bowls and the drinking vials, saying, so that they will not die. In verse 21, this is said again, repeated, so that they will not die. So meaning, if someone is unholy touching and using these vessels, they will die. This was God's order to the Israelites, and here comes a Babylonian king using these items in a drinking feast. What would you have done if you were God? You can imagine that God was furious, and he wrote these words on the wall, saying in effect that Belshazzar did not measure up. And that same night the king was slain. We don't know how, but he was slain, it says, just as God warned that would happen to those who desecrated the holy vessels. What an example of God's promise becoming true, but also a warning that God will do what he says as a punishment for something he warns against. You know, when I heard yesterday, and I was on the TV and in the papers, about the decision of the Supreme Court about same-sex marriages, I said, as long as it takes, can be long, but let's watch God's judgment. It will happen. So now you may ask me, what did it mean? Mene, mene, tekel, a person. And it is, well, mene, mene, it's M-E-N-E, M-E-N-E, means God has put an end to your kingdom. So that was the writing on the wall. Tekel means T-E-K-E-L, T-E-K-E-L means you have been weighted and found deficient. Or in other words, plain English, you have been put on a scale and you have been found too light. What a warning to us. And we hope and pray that God will never use those words to us, that you have been found too light, tekel. The third thing, the third part of our message here, and the last part is, now that we have seen and are convinced, I hope, that God's words are reliable and will come out certain, sure, we can praise him for the coming of Jesus Christ as our deliverer. And we can look towards the future and say, what he has promised will come. A few of God's promises which were given and later came true, just to give a little bit more examples, and it was work carried out. Number one, we have seen in Genesis the prediction of Christ conquering Satan, and it happened on the cross when Christ defeated Satan with his sacrifice. That is one thing that was promised and it came. Then second, there is another one. God promised the desecration of the vessels, if that happens, would end in death, as we have seen. It was carried out even decades later, maybe centuries later. They did it, and God doesn't forget. So we can confidently look to the future like this. God promised the rapture of the church and the second coming of our Lord, and we can be sure that will happen. He promised eternal life for those who believe in Jesus Christ, and we can be sure it will happen. His words that the older son, Ishmael, will persecute the younger son is taking place right before our eyes here when we look at the descendants of Ishmael and the descendants of Isaac. Right before our eyes we see, and like I said, never before and never will be this enmity between two tribes, two nations, two sorts of people. And in 2 Peter, Peter says, no prophecies ever came by the impulse of man, but by the Holy Spirit that's in us. So we always have to remember, it's not us that make these predictions, these promises, but through the Holy Spirit, spoken by God that is in us, we will see what is going to happen. So don't let us be deceived if someone says God is dead, he doesn't hear us, he doesn't care. You can see centuries later, in his time, his promises are carried out. So how about us and here now? Here we are, and we have the Great Commission in front of us. We have the Great Commission to bring the gospel of Christ to the world. Our responsibility is to carry out his command, to make disciples, going to the ends of the world, proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. We chose to belong to the free woman and to Jesus Christ. So depend on God's promise of our redemption and eternal life. I give you an example because we are all learners. We are all beginners, you can say, in advancing the Gospels. Let me give you an example of how the apostles, disciples, were handling things. After all, they are the closest to Jesus. Well, there are many, many examples that we can follow with them, but I want to give you one. And the rest is probably for another message. A lot of them had a lack of tolerance and compassion. And the Bible gives us some examples of that. Here is one. When Jesus came to Samaria, the Samaritans rejected him. They didn't want to have anything to do. You know what his disciples said? Let's smoke them out. Let's smoke those Samaritans. Put your fire God on top of them. Just smoke them. You know what Jesus' answer was? No, we are here to save lives, not to destroy. I mean, we have to get into that mode, you know. I have to chuckle when I read it. I said, yeah. Sometimes Helen, my wife, and I talk about, look at now what happened there. The Supreme Court has allowed them to do this. I wish that, whatever. Oh my. And here Jesus says, leave it to me. We should seek to save lives, not to destroy it. There are many more of these where we see the disciples also being young Christians, did things that we are doing as well. And it's encouraging to me and to you that we are still in the mode of learning, and we will get better in our evangelizing that. So finally, let us not hear from God to us at the final judgment that is sure to come. The word tekel, T-E-K-E-L. We hope that God will never say that to us, because in plain English, it will say, you didn't make the cut. You're insufficient. But that we will hear the words from him, well done, good and faithful servant. Let's pray. Our God and Father, we thank you, Father, that you gave in your word these examples. We thank you, Father, that we can learn from you, that you are teaching us these things, Father, that we ourselves are not sometimes even aware of that is in it. Father, we pray that we will never, Father, disappoint you, and that later, as we stand before you in our judgment, that you will never say tekel to us, but you will say, well done, good and faithful servant. Thank you, Father, for Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit and your blessings. And in Jesus' name we pray this. Amen.